If I ever am elected as a powerful politician in Nashville, one of the first things that I will do is to end daylight savings time or continue daylight savings time, whatever it means, to where I get to keep more light later in the evening, because I cannot stand driving home in the dark. I get home knowing that I have to go to a meeting or a gathering, and I'm like, oh, it's so late. I can't leave my house. And I look at my watch, and it's 5:30. And so I have to go back out into the darkness. Darkness can be overwhelming and sometimes exhausting. We are in a season of darkness. The season of Advent is a time of darkness where we wait in the unknown, in the anticipation for the coming of the light of the world. Traditionally, the church has not been so keen on darkness. Traditionally, in our scriptures and even in sermons, we talk about darkness as being sin, the evil, the spiritual blindness, or even death. And everyone knows that they have to stay away from the dark side. Last year, around this time, though, I was learning to befriend the darkness, especially during Advent when we try to walk and live in this dark time. And Barbara Brown Taylor's book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, helped me a little on this journey. She talks about being part of churches and communities that have a full solar spirituality. And she says that that too is exhausting when you try to absorb and reflect the sunny side of faith 24/7. She writes, if you've ever belonged to such a spiritual community with the solar spirituality, you realize that trouble comes when darkness might fall on your life, which can happen in a number of unsurprising ways. You lose your job, your marriage falls apart, your child acts out into some attention-getting way, you pray hard for something that does not happen. The list goes on and on. She says that there are days when she wishes she could hold this full solar spirituality, but that really her faith looks more like lunar spirituality. She reflects the sun as it waxes and wanes through the seasons and the times of her life. So, we are in this Advent season of darkness, waiting in anticipation, unsure maybe of something that's coming in our lives, in a culture that's filled with fear, fear of the other, fear of anything that seems different. Our two main biblical characters this morning, Elizabeth and Mary, understood what it was like to live in a culture of fear. They were Jewish during the Roman Empire, and as a Jew in the Roman Empire, you usually were not considered a Roman citizen. And Roman citizens were kind of at the top of the food chain, and then you had freeborn people, and then you had freed people, and then you had slaves. But it's a complicated sort of hierarchy, because based on your wealth and your gender and lots of other things in society, you would have a different status. Eva D'Ambra writes in her book about first century Roman women that every aspect of their world reinforced a social system based on inequality and elitism. She explains that women's roles and status are more complex than tradition presents it. While they had limitations in society, women had influence according to their age, socioeconomic status, and honorable character. So Elizabeth, in this story, would have had the higher status. She was older and from a priestly lineage. She was an honorable woman of character, whereas Mary was unwed and young. So when Mary runs through the Judean hillside to meet her kinswoman, Elizabeth, the story could have gone much differently. Elizabeth could have, upon her greeting, scolded her. How could you get pregnant? And confirmed how horrified Mary should be. And then that awkward silence. How could you let this happen? What were you thinking? Or blaming another person. Who is this guy? We're going to go kick his butt. She doesn't show sympathy to Mary. Oh, bless your heart. Or, I feel so sorry for you. She shows empathy. She says, I get it. I understand. Me too. When it's terribly difficult to believe that this blessing could happen to you, I believe it did, and I'm honored to be with you. This is how she responds. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Elizabeth honors Mary's story. She blesses her and believes with her. Elizabeth affirms Mary's calling instead of explaining it away. And most of all, Elizabeth doesn't need to one-up Mary. She doesn't say, that's nothing. Listen to what happened to me in my age. Elizabeth is already teaching John what it's like to prepare the way for another. Many times our friendships can be transactional. We work so hard to win the approval of people that will never see us. And we share our deepest struggles and successes, and often there's that awkward silence. This is not the case for Mary and Elizabeth. When Elizabeth responds to Mary in an open and affirming way, she creates space for Mary's light to shine. Mary continues to be vulnerable, and she bursts into song. Look what the Lord has done for me. All of the verbs in the Magnificat are talking about the past tense. They're past tense verbs. She believes so much that God is bringing about the coming kingdom that she speaks and sings about it. In the past, God has done great things. She truly holds the light of the world inside of her. Elizabeth paves the way in darkness for Mary to shine. There's a story in the Talmud about Rabbi Jose. The Talmud is basically a series of writings and interpretations on the Hebrew scriptures. That's what we call the Old Testament. And in this story of Rabbi Jose, he's studying and studying, but he still can't figure out this particular passage in Deuteronomy. It's Deuteronomy 28, and it says, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in pitch black darkness. Why, Rabbi Jose wondered, would a blind man grope in darkness? What difference does it matter if it's light or day? While he was musing on the problem one day in the dark of night, as the story goes, he comes across a blind man carrying a torch. Why, Rabbi Jose asked the man, do you carry a torch? With or without it, you cannot see a thing. True enough, said the man who was blind. But as long as I carry this torch, other people can see me. Maybe part of learning to walk in the dark is holding your torch, sharing your story, even if you still can't see the way. Maybe your torch will allow someone else to see. As I was thinking about this story driving home one day in the dark, I saw this beautiful house filled with Christmas lights. And I thought to myself, why do we put up Christmas lights? Everyone knows it's exhausting to untangle all of those lights and put them on your house. And plus, you're inside. You don't get to see the lights on your house. We put them up to shine a light for others, to be a little joy in the darkness. There are many ways to walk in the dark. You might be like Barbara Brown Taylor and feel like your light is that of the moon, reflecting and seasonal. You might be like the rabbi's friend, unable to see anything around you, but you are courageous to hold your torch in the darkness. You might be like Mary, a light growing inside of you, waiting for birth. And you might be like Elizabeth, preparing the way for another, celebrating the joys and crying in the struggles. I'll leave you with one more image, and it's that of the Advent wreath. There are many interpretations and actually lots of stories about where this came from, but today I choose to interpret the pink candle to be Mary, maybe one of the other purple candles to be Elizabeth, and then one of the other candles is you, and one of the other candles is someone who's been with you, celebrating you. I imagine that the wreath of the Advent is the church, all standing together, some of us waiting to be lit, all of us reflecting on the fact that Christ has truly entered the world, and us looking to the future for Christ to return. All of us standing together, together much more brighter than we could ever be by ourselves, reflecting the light of the world in the dark times. Thanks be to God. Amen.